Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
Jay Dill and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women. Jay Dill. Yeah. Two wise women.
You know
Dr. Lamar. Two wise women. You better pay attention.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and I want to welcome everybody to the show. We are two wise women. I am Dr. Lamar with The Wise Inc. and Jadia Jackson.
Girl, you said my name, but you are worthy. Good morning.
Sorry about that, ma'am. Sorry. We are here to educate and illuminate topics that have to do with relationship, sex, money, and love. We are committed to your knowing and growing. So before we get started into the show, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm so excited about this show because we have a very juicy topic today that I'm sure that we'll learn and grow from this topic today. But first, I just want to give a recap of our show that we had on June the 5th, which was the first Friday of the month, because we have our shows on the first and the third Friday at 9 o'clock every month. And so I just kind of want to recap on that. And, J.D., I would like for you to start off, because I know you was extremely engaged and it was a very topic dear and near to your heart. So I would like for you to just kind of share your thoughts about that topic on last week.
Yeah, the topic was about sexuality, sexual orientation, and gender identity. And to me, it's a very timely topic based upon what's going on right now in our world. And for me, our show is about killing off ignorance, because ignorance breeds fear. And so one of the areas that we here in the United States, an area of ignorance is human sexuality. And so our conversation was about, we had three guests, and they talked about their sexual orientation, because there are so many labels out there, Dr. Lamar, as you are well aware. Heterosexual, most people are aware of that one, where it's a man and a woman. But then there's pansexual, or some people say bisexual and asexual and homosexual and transgender, and all of these definitions, all of these labels, to me, just create this separation. And so what I really want us to, what the show was about, was making people aware that on the other side of the labels are people, are human beings who are in need of the same things that everyone else is in need of, which is love, acceptance, a hug, a smile. And so to bring some awareness to that community, because there's a lot of ignorance about homosexuality, gayness, lesbianism, transgender, all of that. So that's really what it was about, us having guests speak from their experience versus you and I, who are heterosexual, having a conversation about homosexuals or homosexuality, and that it's not my experience. I don't have outside of my opinion about it, and to me, what good is that? I really wanted people who are actually living it, because we marginalize people who are different than us, and I
Absolutely.
Think that's a community that gets marginalized. What do you think, Dr. Lamar? I'm just talking, going on and on.
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting show. I thought they shared a lot of interesting things. We actually had a young lady on the show, and I think she was about 16 years old, and she articulated how she felt. She articulated the age she was. One of the questions was, was this a choice or an option, or were you born this way, or when did you know? And she said she knew when she was a little girl. And how do you feel about people that are negative towards you? And she just spoke about not being around people that are negative, and people are negative towards you, whether you are homosexual or heterosexual. So she was very enlightening about her perspective on how she viewed things and how she cared about things. One of the things that was interesting to me was one of the guests spoke about how people make judgment on her lifestyle, and she mentioned not being so critical and judgmental, because if she wanted people to accept her, then she had to accept differences in other people. And I think that's one of the things that we don't pay attention to. We only identify with things that are near and dear to us, so anything that is outside of what we believe in, we consider it to be abnormal or not correct. However, we are offended when people don't believe the way that we believe. And so I think it's very important, and that's what the show did for me, and I'm sure it did for a lot of our guests, as we got a lot of feedback from them about the show. It's just being open-minded, and just because it may not be your story, not to be critical and judge, because at the end of the day, we have no heaven or hell to put anybody in. So just having an open mind and being respectful of people's differences, regardless of what they are. Because like I mentioned, one of the points that I mentioned is homosexuality isn't the only difference. We have people that lie. We have people that cheat. We have people that steal. So all of those are differences. I'm not saying agree, but just respect a person's opinion, or if they're struggling with something, just respecting a person's way of life. So that's what the show helped me with, and helped some of our guests. But we're going to get into the show, Ms. JD, and I have a question for you. And I see we have a lot of callers, and as we go through the show, you all are more than welcome to press 1. We'll cue you in with your question or comment, and then we'll keep it moving. But my question is, JD, do you know why some people struggle with creating and or maintaining healthy relationships? Because I know we're in a time and era now where it's a lot of single people, especially within the African-American couple, within the African-American community, sorry about that, that people aren't getting married like they were back in the day. So my question to you is, do you know or do you have an idea why certain people are struggling to create and or maintain healthy relationships?
That's a very good question, Dr. Lamar, because I've been looking at this in that I see a lot of single men who are looking for a romantic relationship. And I know of a lot of single women who are also looking for romance. And it always strikes me as interesting that you got this many people that are wanting to be in relationships and they're not getting together. And one of the things that I think one of the things is unrealistic expectations as it relates to relationships. And I think women tend to have this issue more so than men do. I'm not saying men don't have unrealistic expectations, but I hear it more so with women, in that when you ask them what it is that they're looking for, they have this really long list. And sometimes what they're saying, they may say, I want a sensitive man who talks to me and share all of his emotions, but I need him to be strong. And it's like, that's two men. Like, it's like if you want someone who's strong, unless they're meaning physical strength, but usually they're not talking about that physical strength. They're talking about that toughness, that maleness. And that's really two different people. That's two different men. So it's like not really wanting everything. That's the second thing, like, these unrealistic expectations and wanting everything versus it's like going to a restaurant and seeing everything on the menu and ordering it all and feeling entitled to have it all versus going to the restaurant and saying, what do I like? What would make me happy off of this list? And then choosing and then going back again, because you and I love to go out and when we find a new restaurant, we go, ooh, I'm going to try that next time. And that's how our life should be. Like, as we age and mature, we go back to this restaurant and we pick something else off the menu. The third thing is, I think people aren't clear about what they need. Because I believe we live in this society that says that we should have everything and anything that we want, and we begin to confuse wants with needs, and because we're having this confusion, it creates this struggle and this breakdown. And so we're not getting together because we expect them to have everything. We're expecting to have everything. We're not clear about what our needs and wants are, or I should say we're unclear. And then unrealistic expectations. So now I'm with you, and I got this checklist in my mind, and when you can't meet all the checklists, I keep saying next. And so men are wanting to provide for women, but when they meet up with someone who has this really long and crazy checklist, he's like, I can't do this. And so it's like it keeps him searching. It keeps both of us searching. So that's what I think it is, Dr. Lamar. What do you think?
You brought up a lot of really, really good points, and I think one of them is expectation. I want to talk about that. And I believe, and I know you mentioned that women have this really long list. I believe men have a long list in their head. However, women verbalize it. Women will say, ooh, on my list, he has to be this, 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 this. Men, I don't think that they say it. And I don't know that people ask men what it is that you need or what it is that you want in a wife. I think some people ask it, but I don't even know if we go around asking those questions versus I think ladies are always asking their peers, you know, what do you want in a husband or what do you want in a significant other or what do you want, you know, in your boyfriend? But I think it goes back to expectation, which where do we get our expectations from? Like, I know it's from society, from our peers, from our parents, from family members, from media. And guess what? If you got your expectations from those places and they were not necessarily the best, then that kind of skews what it is that you want. For instance, I hear a lot of ladies say, you know, I want a fairy tale marriage. I want me and my husband to be happy and never. Well, where did you get that from and have you ever seen it? And to me, that is an unrealistic expectation. Not to say that you can't be happy, because you can definitely be happy, but where is it that we're getting that, you know, If my boyfriend loves me, he'll never hurt me, or if he loves me, he'll never be disrespectful. Like, where did you get that from, and where did you see it? So I think it has a lot to do with our expectation.
I agree with you as well that our expectations are driving the show. But you asked, where did this come from? Like, where are people getting this I'm going to be happy ever after? And I think it comes from our romance novels, it comes from our songs, it comes from our movies, that if you stop and think about it, they live happily ever after. Like, you never see the work that goes into the relationship or the marriage or the partnership, because I usually like it because it's a partnership. I have a part to play and he has a part to play. And that what ends up happening is that we really buy into that when I find the one, that it's all going to work out. And that what really happens is the one is a myth, because the one says there's only one person out there for me versus there are a lot of people out there for me, and my job is to sort based upon my preferences, the things that I need that are going to make me happy. That are going to make me happy. And then from there, even conveying that, because I met a man who, when I was saying, so what is it that you're looking for? He was like, well, I don't want to tell you, because if I tell you, then you're going to try to be those things. And to me, that was kind of like interesting in that, well, wouldn't you want to know if I even want to, well, I want to know so that I can know if I even want to provide or be any of those things. But him, he was concealing. I don't want you to know. Just let's hang out together, and then I'll see if you are those things. And I'm thinking, I ain't got time to waste.
But you know what? That was very interesting, because you know what? I can see what you're saying as it relates to him letting you know to see even if you can do it. And I can understand what he was saying, because you do know that people are fake, and then they'll give you fakeness And then a couple of months down the line, it's kind of like the real person begin to come out. And it's like, where did that person go? And so I can kind of see your true self in his head, and he has a list in his head. If you're being your true self and it's what he likes, then you guys will be able to create a partnership. But at the same time, I can definitely understand what you're saying. But you made an interesting point about it being that one particular person. I think that depends on
the one. When people say
that
the one.
Yeah, that one, the one. Like it's only one person out there for you. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm really thinking in my head, do I agree or do I disagree with that? And I really want our callers to kind of chime in on this. And my school of thought on that is, and I'm not saying that I'm right, this is just my personal opinion. I'm just being honest with you right now. I really, and I don't know, because I feel like I've married the one, and I'm not even 100% sure if, say, God forbid, something happened to me and my husband, if there's another person out there that would match me the way that I am. It's a possibility. I doubt it very seriously, but again, I don't know. So I think that there can be that one. I really do. I think that there can be that one. I think that it's not a lot of people that could provide for me the things that I need or that can meet my needs. I just don't. And I say that, I even think back to when I was dating, like, and I dated a bunch of jokers, too. And I just think back, like, wow, they provided some things, but it wasn't the things that I needed in order to feel safe, in order to be able to maintain a healthy relationship. So I'm curious to hear what our callers have to say about if they agree or disagree or if they believe in the one or it's a bunch of the ones out there for you, so you can just kind of go as you please. So I'm curious to hear if anybody have any comments or questions or concerns about whether they believe in the one.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because for me, when I hear, because I used to believe in the one, and but what it did for me was create this scarcity, because the
mm-hmm.
one means, where is he? Is he in Alabama? Because that's where I was born. Is he in Connecticut? Because that's where I moved to. New York. So I moved around a little bit. California, Florida. Like, have I missed my one? Because I didn't stay in one place.
See, you know what?
I'm getting crazy. But we have a couple of callers on the line. So we got to bring them in. Caller with the last digit 0927, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller with the last digit 0927.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had the mute button on. This is Dwinette calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Good morning, Dwinette. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Great, thank you.
That's good. I was going to reply to that. I think, in terms of being the one is it depends on the one comes as you know, to where you are in your life. You know what I mean? That's the one for you right at that moment. Because you have people that get married two or three times and they're happily married each time. So I think that one person is the one for that person at that time in their lives. So I think you can't have more than one person be the one.
Okay. Oh, I like that. That's an expansive and evolved definition of the one. Thank you, Gwinnett,
mm-hmm.
for that.
You're welcome.
And we have another caller on the line.
Wait a minute before
you
go to the next caller. I wanted to kind of respond before you go to the next caller. And I see that you taking
her
out.
Go ahead and respond.
But she was saying that, and you know what? I was just thinking, because people can be married more than once. But you know what I was thinking about? Even if you marry again and again, does that necessarily mean that person is the one? And what popped in my head is, if you're continuing to get married, was that really the one? But at the same time, maybe you divorced the one. So now, you know, my mind is just kind of going everywhere with this, the one, but I just wanted to share that piece. But you can go to the next caller.
Okay, because I want to respond to that comment, Dr. Lamar. I think that I believe that people come into our lives for a reason, season, and a lifetime. So maybe that one was the one for that reason that you needed. Like, for me, I believe that life is about lessons. And so that person showed up in my life experience to help me heal something, move beyond something, learn something. But let me take this other caller. Caller with the last digit, 7977, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Jordan from New York. Yes.
Jordan from New York, what's going on?
We've missed you the last couple shows, Jordan.
Yeah, but one, y'all sound like the Matrix up there, you know what I mean? The one. Sorry, so let's see, the one. Okay. I kind of heard this a while back. I heard somebody comment on that you walk around your entire life, you know, on this planet Earth, and everybody's meant for somebody. Everybody has that person that's meant for each other. And you walk around this Earth for your entire life, and you walk aimlessly, and, you know, if you're lucky, you might find the one. And if you do, that's a beautiful thing. But most people, large percentages, don't ever find the one. Now, the one, to me, is the total package. When you find it, it's like finding the Holy Grail, or finding the blue diamond, or finding the four-leaf clovers. It's just something that's just magnetic about it. You know, it's the explosions go off, you know, in your head and all of that. And it lasts for a lifetime. It lasts for a lifetime. Not the, you know, I heard the previous caller say, you know, you might find it for that moment. You might find it, but that's not the one. That's not the one. The one definition is lifetime. You know, y'all chained together emotionally, romantically, everything forever. You know, even in the afterlife, y'all going beyond that. You know, when you be with somebody and then it doesn't work, you know, it. That's not the one for that, not even for the moment. I disagree with that. It's not the, because it's, that's not the person that's meeting that definition of the one, you know. Even if you're on your third marriage and you die and on your last breath, you say, baby, you're the one. No, you're not the one. You're the two, but you're not the one. You know what I mean? So that's just my definition on it. You know, I tried to throw a little spin to make you ladies laugh this morning, but that's just my spin. Other than that, you know, the one is really Neil from the Matrix. So that's that.
Well, thank you, Jordan. We really appreciate your in your knowledge that you just given us this morning.
Okay. Okay, y'all ladies, have a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jordan, and thank you so much for sharing. It is so funny because I was totally agreeing with Jordan. I really feel like the one is the one. But he was making some very interesting points, which drives us back. I don't know if you guys realize, but Jordan had a list in his head of what the one is. And I'm sitting here thinking, because he was like, it lasts forever. You even go to afterlife, like, with this person. That's the one. I'm like, ooh, that's a long time. So that means, the one. That was just really funny to me. But I noticed that he had a list about what the one really meant. And I don't think that we all find the one. Some people don't find the one. Some people find the one. But this is the thing. Even if you find the one, and this is my opinion, even if you find the one, there'll still be trials and tribulations in that process. It's how you and that person work things out. But the thing about that is we make lists of what it is that we want or what it is that we need in our relationship. And typically those things, if anybody would like to share what their list is of things that they need in a relationship, most of the time with this list, It's typically physical appearance, a level of income, if the person can make you happy. And me and you talk about this all the time, JD. We are all responsible for our own happiness. No person can make you happy. You are responsible for your happiness. And you have to be able to effectively communicate that with your spouse, with your significant other, with your husband. So if you go into a relationship anticipating or expecting someone to make you happy or for someone to give you butterflies or for someone to make your toes curl, then you're automatically going into that relationship with unrealistic expectations. And so for me, that's that piece where we're not being clear on what it is that we want and need. And it goes back to food. You need to eat. Like, in order to survive, you need to eat. Now, what you eat is a want. I prefer pizza. I love myself some Houston, some salmon. I love it. However, that is a want, not a need. So that's some of the stuff that we'll be talking about today. When you're with a person, or when you're trying to date, or when you're trying to, like JD call it, sort, and you're trying to determine what it is that you need to be clear on what is it that will make you, or that will be a part of your survival. And I think that's the interesting point. And it has nothing to do with things that are wants versus needs. So what's your thoughts on that, JD?
Dr. Lamar, you said a lot. And one of the things I want to address is when people are making their list, that list is long. And men do make a list. I'm just curious to know what our list look like. Like, if you compare a man's list to a woman's list, like, what is this list going to look like? But the thing that I want to address is that one of the things that we do when it comes to relationships is we're looking for people to complete us. Like, and it sounds so romantic. Oh, you complete me.
Mm.
Oh, you need to already be complete before you get into this relationship. So we go into relationships expecting people to be able to make us happy. We go into relationships expecting people to provide for us what we didn't get as children. So there's something about us that's missing, like this level of acceptance. I remember I was in a relationship with someone, and I said to him, "You don't like me." And he said, "I ain't taking that on. You don't like yourself." And I was like, "Ooh," but he was right. If I liked me, then I wouldn't be concerned. But if he liked me to the level that I was, I would have just observed, this is someone who doesn't like me, next. That's what I should have done if I was all right with me. So what I think what happens is we go into these relationships expecting people to provide things for us that's really our own stuff that we haven't healed, we haven't transformed, we haven't resolved, and it shows up. I also believe that people that we partner with, that we marry, will hurt us the way that core relationship hurt us, so that we can heal that trap hurt. Because if we never resolve our hurt and our pain and our disappointment, all of that stuff just carries with us. And
So we have this
train load of luggage, and we go into this new relationship, and we say, "Well, can you love me? Will you love me?" And then we begin to reveal our stuff, and so that's where I think that need list, where people have these needs and wants, versus looking at it and saying, "This is my preference. I'm happy, and I want someone to contribute to my happiness." Like, because you got to be willing to be happy yourself. Because there are people who are miserable on point. They're miserable for no reason. And then they want you to show up and make them laugh, make them happy, make them feel good. Well, no, you got to already be open and receptive to that. And if you're not open and receptive to that, then it doesn't matter what I do. And it's a lot of work, because there's another person on the other side that's also looking to be happy and fulfilled. And so you got really two incomplete people that are looking for the other person to solve their problems. That's how I look at it. Versus, let's work together. And that's why I was saying with the man who was concealing, it's like I need to know what your stuff is so I can even say I want to sign up for that. Because if you got an addiction problem and you want a woman that can deal with that, or you got mama issues, baby mama drama, no, I need to know what's going on. And
absolutely,
that's how I think people conceal. So let me stop talking, Dr. Lamar. I got excited.
No. I thank you so much. You're sharing so much good stuff, and you hit on two good points that I had to write down and take some notes that I could, you know, come back and talk. You're absolutely right. When we come together, we should already be one. And I teach this a lot of times, and I do a lot of my workshops with married couples, that marriage is multiplicable, because it says that it's one and one come together. I mean, one and one come together and make one. Well, if that was addition, then one and one would come together and make two. So the only way that you can actually get a one from two is by multiplying or dividing. But when you divide, you actually take away from. So it's multiplicable. So you have to absolutely be a whole one, because if you multiply 0.5, that'll give you a quarter. And so then you'll definitely be less than your one. So you really, 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 really have to be a complete one. And the only person that can get you to a one, and when I say one, I just mean being whole, being satisfied with who you are. We all have luggage. We all have experiences that we've dealt with, some we've grown from, some we're still healing from. But being able to identify what your weaknesses are, being able to identify what your triggers are, being able to identify what is it that you need in a relationship versus what you want. And you also mentioned something about we typically bring in our childhood issues in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And when I say relationship, I'm just not talking about with a man. I'm talking about with your home girls. I'm talking about at your job.
Yes.
And I'll give an example. I was working with this client, and she had abandonment issues. Like, her mom had abandoned her, right? And all of her relationship had some abandonment stuff around it. And I tried to explain to her, it's because you have not dealt with it. And so now you are attracting people to you that are subconsciously and unconsciously abandoning you. So it's when you are able to heal that hurt and to accept it, not that you can change it, that you'll begin to attract people that you don't feel that are abandoning you. And then you have abandonment conversations like, why are you doing this to me? Everybody always leave me. You begin to have a pity party. So it's so important to understand what are some of those unresolved issues from your childhood, because they definitely will rise up in your relationship when you become an adult. And again, like I said, it's not just with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's with your friends. It's at your job. It's with your, you know, it's just a full circle type of thing. So it's very important to understand. But
absolutely.
I wanted to share.
Just agreeing with you.
Okay, good deal. I wanted to share the definition of a need from the Webster dictionary. A need is something that a person must have, something that is needed for life, like you need it in order to live. A need is essential to a person's survival. So to me, that automatically says to me, when you're looking for looking to be in a relationship, it's very important to understand yourself before you can even know what a need is. It's very important to know, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are the areas that I need to work on? What are the areas that I feel like I'm strong in? Because if you have an issue with money, I just throw it out there. If you have an issue with money, you probably need someone that is really good with money, because I'm thinking if you dated someone that wasn't good with spending money or was was careless with the finances, that could potentially compromise the relationship. So it's very important for an individual to understand their individual needs and what they need.
I agree. I think that most of us don't pay attention to our essential needs, like you said. Like, for me, one of the things that, and my friends know this about me, I need to sleep until my eyes pop open. And that need provides something for me. It provides my, it increases my level of patience and generosity. I can listen when I sleep until my eyes pop open, because what that means is that I'm sleeping until my body said, okay, we've had enough. Another thing is I need me time in the morning. So most of my friends know, don't call me before 9. It doesn't mean you can't call me before 9, but there needs to be a reason for the call, because I'm going to be on point with you, very direct. Yes, what can I do? Because I answer, because I'm thinking something has happened. But if you're just calling just to chit-chat with me, hey, girl, how you doing? Like, what do you want? Like, I'm still trying to bring myself to that place of mindfulness. But those are two things that I need so that I can be my best self for people. And I like what you said, Dr. Lamar, about we tend to only think about romantic relationships. But we're having relationships everywhere we go, our family, mm-hmm. with our mm-hmm. job, even with at the places that we volunteer, at church, when we have an attitude with people. Like, those are relationships that we're engaged in, and those people are showing up, reminding us,
mm-hmm.
I think, of our unresolved issues, saying, okay, here's an opportunity for you to heal something. But what we do is we make it about them. That's their stuff. That's their issue. I'm not saying it's not their stuff, but if you see it and it bothers you, it's your stuff. If you see it but it doesn't bother you, it's your stuff, but you don't move beyond it. And if you don't even see it, then it ain't your stuff. So if you see it, you got it. And that's the thing that people, we aren't being taught, is what I really feel. We're not being taught how to resolve conflict. And so
I agree.
Because we don't have this skill, because it's a skill, because we don't have the skill of conflict resolution, then what we do is we go around, we point fingers, and we blame, and our feelings continue to get hurt, which then creates distance. And then you end up with these people that's just sitting at home by themselves. Because based upon how advanced we are here in the United States, we are a very unhappy, we have a lot of unhappy people. And I think it's because that human connection is missing, and we don't know how to create human connection based upon what we are talking about today, is what is it that you need and versus what you want. Have we even broke down a little more about the need and want?
You know what? I don't. I've talked about what a need is and what a want is, but I want to also mention that, because I know I work with people, and it's almost like some people need, and we talked about this. We've talked about this several times, JD. There are five different categories of need, and it's emotional, it's physical, it's spiritual, it's social, and it's security. And it's a lot of gray areas, because guess what? Some people may need financial security depending on how they were raised. Say if they were raised in a house where it was unstable, a lot of lights were being cut off, the bills weren't being paid, and so they were being put out. That person may need a spouse who is financially stable in order to make them feel safe. So when I talk about a need or a want, it's not my place to say, or you're right or you're wrong. My thoughts on this is just being clear on what those needs are and being able to justify and to be able to compartmentalize if it's really a need or if it's really a want. And so I wanted to throw that out there, because I have worked with people that needed financial stability. And whenever their finances became short or it wasn't a surplus in the bank, they became very anxious. They became very scared. And oftentimes we all know that we're angry or we act aggressively when we're afraid. Sometimes, not all people, but sometimes anger can look like, fear can look like anger. And so my point to say is it doesn't necessarily mean
that a person doesn't need someone to be financially stable, or a person doesn't need someone that is strong, especially if they didn't feel safe when they were younger, or if they need a dominant man, because some people need a dominant man. And just to share, I need it for my husband to be a dominant man, because I need strength, because I'm such a dominant person. Unfortunately, I do know people that don't necessarily like dating dominant men, and that's okay. Nothing is wrong with that. But I needed a dominant man. But like you mentioned earlier, JD, with getting a dominant man, he's not always the sweetest, nicest, kindest, flower, petaling, throwing, you know. So sometimes there's a give and a take. But that's pretty much, you know, my thoughts on the needs and the wants.
That's very good. I like the breakdown of the needs, the emotional, the spiritual, the financial.
Yeah.
And then under those categories, it's up to the individual to determine how much and what it looks like. For me, the spiritual piece is, in the beginning, I wanted someone who was doing the same walk, that same spiritual walk that I was doing. And now I'm beginning to look at, I just need him to be aware of himself on some spiritual level. And that it doesn't have to mirror my walk, because I recognize and accept that I can sometimes be out there for people like, oh, that's kind of woo-woo, oh, where the hell you get that from? And I get that. And so I don't need him to mirror that anymore. Where when I was younger, and I think it was because it was my walk in it was new, like it was a new journey. I started this journey back in 92, 94. And so, yeah, it was uncertain. And so I needed people around me, or I needed that significant relationship around me that was going to strengthen my walk in it. But now I'm there. In my mind, I'm there, and I don't need that anymore. I need him to be respectful. And that's what all my friends, acquaintances, I just need you to be respectful. I'm going to be respectful of your walk, your spiritual walk, your belief. I just need you to respect mine and understand that, you know, there are differences. There are many paths to God, and this is my path. So I like what you said, because right then and there, but look at what I'm saying. I'm identifying what my need is, and I'm communicating it. That's to me, I still say that's important. To communicate that, because I have met men who only want a Christian woman. And because they only want a Christian woman, and so thereby I wouldn't be a match for them.
Gotcha.
And not to say I won't go to church. I love a good song. I love a good sermon. But I'm not going to be there every Sunday. That's not my walk. And so, but if that's what he wants, then he needs to communicate that. So I'm always open for the dialogue, but sometimes it's like pulling teeth.
Wow.
That's my contribution
right
now.
Awesome. Good point. I see we have a caller that's calling in.
Okay.
Hey, how are you doing?
State your last
name. You have a typo
in
your title.
Where you calling
from? It says two wise women. That's not very wise of you niggers, is it?
Well, thank you so much for that. I tell you what, hate is crazy. That is unbelievable. But it's okay, because we're going to keep on moving.
I know, yeah, we're going to keep on moving. So,
as a matter of fact, X that one out, JD. Just go ahead and X that one right on out and write that number down. Let me write the number down. See.
Oh, I'm going to X that. I was Jack.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So let's
just take
okay.
a couple of deep cleansing breaths. Because we know ignorance lives and breathes. This is what I'm saying. Fear breathes ignorance. And he has called back in, and so we'll just X him out again.
Wait a minute. Let me get your number.
We are purposely hanging up on you, Mike, so please don't call back in. Okay, so, Dr. Lamar.
So, you were sharing about the needs and the wants. And I was just thinking in my head, and I know I'm sure some people do know about the five love languages. And within that five love language, you have the different love languages, which is words of affirmation, it's quality time, it's receiving gifts, it's acts of services, it's physical touch. Those are all love languages. And depending on the way that you receive love determines how you give love. And so that's why it's important to kind of understand within those five categories that I mentioned, which was emotional, physical, spiritual, and social, and security, could all fall up under those love languages. And no one can actually say or can speak to what a person needs or what a person wants. That's why it's so important for an individual to be able to know what it is that they want and what it is that they need. Is what we're pretty much speaking about. And I give an example, like for an emotional need. Someone may need to feel and be told, I love you all the time. Someone may need to, you know, be, you know, told that you're special and that you're gorgeous and that I believe in you and, you know, so on and so forth. That is an emotional need. Well, to someone who may need physical touch, they may disagree with that and say, you know what, that's not a need or that's not a need for me. So it's very important to understand individually what it is that you need.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's important for you to be able to see, not see, to be able to understand that different people have different needs. And if you are a words of affirmation person and you're dating a physical touch person, And for me, I'm a words of affirmation, so I can tell you how I feel. I have no, I'm very verbose. And what I've observed is that when I'm dealing with a person who's a gift or acts of service, that before I understood the love language and that people express and receive love differently, what I was really dealing with at that point was how to get this person to love me the way that I wanted to be loved, and not understanding that they were loving me the way that they knew how to love me, which was giving me gifts or providing a service for me or hugging me, touching me, kissing me, holding hands, and all of those things. And once I began to understand that, then my dissatisfaction level went down. So that's very important for people to understand, like, what your needs are and what your wants are, and to differentiate between a need and a want. Because when you're able to differentiate between your need and you want and your want, then you can say, this is a want. This is something that I want right now, but this is what I need. And when you're clear about it, then you're like, the want is extra stuff, but the need is, this is my need, is what's going to keep me centered and balanced.
Absolutely.
Happy and generous and open. And when I'm not getting those needs, I'm going to feel resentful. I will begin to feel like I'm sacrificing, and I can become I can begin to retaliate or withhold because I'm not getting my needs met. What do you
Absolutely.
Think, Dr. Lamar?
I totally agree. I 100% agree with you. And I think it's important, like I mentioned earlier, to know yourself. It's so important to know yourself. And if you have a lot of hatred or frustration or unresolved relationships, that can definitely affect what it is that you need and want. That can definitely shift what it is that you think you need and or want. So I think it's very important to be aware of that. But I see we have another caller calling in.
Okay. Caller with the last digits 5387, state your name and where you're calling from.
Good morning, ladies. It's LD calling from Decatur.
Hey, Miss LD.
Hey, LD.
Hey, ladies. How are you?
Outstanding.
We're wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. Hey, I'm actually just calling in with a comment just to kind of love on you two because you're doing such a phenomenal job. I just wanted to congratulate you on the radio show. You're educating women. You're giving them the wives' wisdom. You're teaching them so much about just knowing how to create and sustain a successful relationship. So I just want to thank you all for what you're doing and just continue to do it. Much success to both of you.
Well, thank you.
That was fun.
I know, right?
I like it. Yeah, I feel
yes.
good.
Hope yes, that it is. Does. Absolutely. So, yeah, Jadea, just on a lighter note, I'm happy that caller called in and that she shared, you know, her thoughts on the radio show, and I think it's very important for us to continue to do the work that we do, because I do think that it's very educational and informative, and it makes a difference. And for me, making a difference is what I want to contribute. That's my contribution to the world, is being able to make a difference, being able to teach, because like my slogan is, you do better when you know better. And so my purpose, other than being a wife, is to be able to educate individuals on how to maintain healthy relationships. And so that was one of the reasons why I think this particular topic is so important, because I've worked with ladies that, you know, have come to me with a list of the things that they need, and at the end of the day, we begin to realize that some of those were really needs, absolutely, positively, but at the same time, some of those things that they wanted were wants. And the difference between a need and a want, like I've mentioned earlier, is a need is necessary for survival. You cannot live without it. A want is a bonus. A want is extra. It's almost like something extra, a bonus or something. And I love to mention, like I said earlier, with eating, I love to eat, period, point blank. But where I eat is a want. It's not necessarily necessary. So I do need to eat for survival. But where I eat is that want thing. And I have a couple of questions that I would like for our callers to kind of chime in and answer one of these questions so we can get an idea, or so that you can have an idea, or if you like, instead of pressing 1, if you want to, you can just either go to my Facebook page or Jadea's Facebook page and or Twitter and leave a comment. Or you can just show us here this morning on the radio show about what your opinion is on it. The first question is, I need or want amazing sex. Is that a need or a want? What do you think about that, Jadea?
That's a need in my world.
Okay.
That's got to be. Yes. Because when it's just, I'm not even going to say all right. When it's just like, it doesn't have me want to do it. Now, I have to create amazing because we are two different people. But, yeah, that sex is important to me. Sex is a need. Sex creates connection.
Gotcha.
So I would say it's one of the, well, sex is also one of those survival things. Continue to have sex and procreate, the human race will go extinct. So I think it's up there with me. But, of course, that's just me, that survival need. But I'm sorry.
And you know what, JD, I know you're single. And for the married ladies on the line, I'm not speaking for you. As a matter of fact, I'm just speaking in general. When you've been married for a long time, sometimes amazing may not always be one of those multiple choice. And so, I, of course, I don't disagree with you that sex should definitely be amazing, and it shouldn't just be mediocre for the duration of the relationship. But for me, amazing sex is definitely a want. I don't necessarily need that every single time in order to, you know, be happy within my relationship. I'm going to ask a couple of more questions, and then we're going to move forward.
And call us, press 1 if you want to chime in on this conversation, because we really would love to get your feedback on this. So what's your next question, Dr. Lamar?
The next question is, oh, we have a caller. So let's take this one and then we'll just move forward.
Okay. Caller with the last digit 0927.
Yes, this is Dwinette again. This is Dwinette calling from Atlanta. I was going to say that sex, amazing sex, it's a need, but it's not like in the top. It's not like the number one.
Okay.
For me, it's communication and attraction for the mind, because I'm such a mental person that if you can stimulate my mind, then the rest will fall into place.
Absolutely.
For me.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you for that. And we're putting you back on mute, Jeanette. Thank you for that. I want my mind stimulated, but that's what my girlfriends are for.
Jeanette made a really good point. This is the thing about a need, and I like what Jeanette just said. If you can stimulate a person communication, then the rest of the stuff will follow, because guess what? Good sex come with communication. Listen, good sex just doesn't automatically happen. Well, you know what? I won't say just doesn't, because I'm sure it does for some people. However, with some really good effective communication, that's how you're able to get some amazing sex, because you have to communicate what it is that you want and what it is that you need. So that was a very, very, very good point. But, guys, we're drawing near to the end of the show. This was an amazing show.
Let's put that second question out there, though, Dr. Lamar, just to have it on the line. Okay.
Second question is, I need or want a baby.
Ooh.
Is that a need or want? For me, that was a need. Like, I really needed that. Really needed that. So that's a need for me.
I like that distinction. For me, when I was a younger child, probably younger than 15, I wanted to have children. And then as I got older, I decided not to have children. And then when I reached my 30s, my mid-30s, I felt the need to have children, like this need to procreate. That was unexplainable for me. And only once did I desired having a baby by a guy that I fell in love with. Like, I wanted to have this baby. However, he didn't want to be with me, and I wasn't about being a single mother doing the baby daddy stuff and the baby mama stuff. But I like that question, Dr. Lamar.
Cool. So thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate you all for calling in. We appreciate all the callers that pressed 1 and gave their feedback. We're so excited that you guys are participating and actively growing with us. So I thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want more information about us, you can visit our website. My website is The Wives Inc., thewivesinc.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, @ The Wives Inc. And Ms. JD, you want to share your information?
Yes, you can visit my website at youareworthy.org. And you can also follow me on Twitter @ JD Jackson. That's JAIDEI Jackson. And I am on Facebook under You Are Worthy.
Good deal. So thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you are having any difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, you can either contact Jadea or myself with the information that we've just given you, or reach out to BHL. That number is 1-800-715-4225. Thank you guys for joining.
Yes, thank you for listening to the show.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J.D. and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey.
Two Wise Women.